and welcome to the International Writers Network. We have a very special and amazing guest for you today. Stephen O'Brien is here to talk to us about his life and how he wrote his amazing book. Stephen O'Brien, you're welcome today. Thank you for gracing our platform.
Nice to be here.
It's good to have you. Now, Stephen, you wrote this book, which we're going to talk about a bit later, 30 years ago. And you share some of your poems. We're going to know why we need to have a new print of that book and relaunch it, because I think it's marvellous, the few poems you've written, you've spoken to me about. Now, let's start at the beginning. How did you become a writer or an author of that book?
Well, you have to go back to 1986, when I had a close encounter with God in a field up in Talla. I was a broken young man back then. I had a drink issue and I suffered with dreadful depression. In fact, I went on RTE some years ago and I told my life story on the programme there called Would You Believe? And as I was walking in the rain in this field, crying and in such a broken depression over my life, I had a duffel coat over my head. And as I was walking through the nettles and the thorns, pushing them out of my way, a beautiful aroma came down over me. And I didn't know what it was. I thought there was flowers around me. And I looked around, there was nothing there but nettles. And this smell was so strong. And I kept searching around for where it was and I couldn't find a source of it. But as I kept walking, the smell followed me. And I just looked under my duffel coat and I said, what is that? So as I kept walking, I was trunching in the water and I heard these footsteps behind me. And I wasn't sure, were they my footsteps? So I slapped my feet again into the water and I heard as clear as that in someone else's feet. And with that, I got such a fright, I turned around and I said, oh God, what's that? And I heard, or I felt, I can't explain this. This is a spiritual experience, so I can explain it the best I understood it back then. I heard or I felt the most magnificent and the most beautiful, the sweetest, the kindest smile. Somebody smiled at me. Anyway, I kept walking and I came to this old log of a tree. My marriage was broken up at the time. My children were only all kids and babies. And I sat down on this tree. It was my sister. She told me about Jesus. And I wasn't too sure. It's just another cult or whatever. But as I sat on the tree, I just looked up and I said, God, I don't know if you're real or if you're there. But if you're there, please help me. I'm going down the third time and don't think I can come back up. Please help me, please. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Do something, please. And my sister said, something miraculous will happen if you do that. So when I did that, I was expecting joy to the world or something. Nothing brilliant. Happened. Nothing. Nothing as I thought. But I wrote a poem about that event and I'll tell you now. I was walking down a lonely street with a tear in my eye. My life had just fallen apart and I could not tell you why. I lost everything I had, which meant so much to me. It was all gone in a flash like waves in the sea. How could this happen, I asked, thinking to myself, to risk everything I love, to throw away like broken delf. I was searching for an answer in that cold and weary day, when I sat down on a log of a tree and looked up and started to pray. My sister told me about Jesus and how she gave her life to him, and he filled her heart with peace and love and forgave her all her sin. So I called out in Jesus' name and asked him to come in, to take over my life this day and forgive me for all my sin. So I walked away happy that night for the first time in my life, knowing I'd wake up one morning with my family and my wife. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love you've given me and for sending your son, Jesus, to listen to my plea.
I'm blown. This is absolutely fabulous. And I'm just going to tell listeners, you know, he doesn't have a script. It's all coming from his head, from this wonderful relationship. But we know that's a poem. You say it's a message because we could see the rhythm and the rhyming and everything. And to me, that is just so eloquent. But also, it's a heart pouring out to us. And I'm sure the listeners, as they're going to be hearing this, going, oh my God, what's going on here? Well, that's just straightforward from his heart. I'm telling you, there's no script out here. I'm right here with him. And I want to thank you for that. So now, how did it get on with the book?
Anyway, the book didn't happen for another about a year or so. But in the meantime, these poetry just come up inside of me. These poems kept coming up from God. And I didn't understand. I've never written a poem in my life. I had no...
No, we're going to stop there because it's a writing program and we go on courses, we go on workshops, we listen to seminars,
yeah.
We go to colleges and universities and we go to writing groups where we improve our writing. But I want you to repeat that sentence again slowly for everybody to hear.
Okay. I left school at 14 with no education. I can barely read my name, barely could write. And when I met Jesus that day, he began to teach me from the inside out through my spirit. And I went past my academic qualities and he began to write through me messages from heaven to broken people. And I began to write poems in my bedroom. Everywhere I went, a poem would come through from the Lord, and I have the whole book inside my heart. So it was a psalmist from God to people who are broken like me in that field, because everybody who's in the kingdom of God today came in broken. Everyone came in with wounds, brokenness, sadness, sorrow, hurts, abuse. And when he came to Jesus, he began to do that glorious work inside of me of just loving me from the inside out. And there's not enough books on the planet Earth today for me to write just thank you for what he's done for me. The day I met my Savior, my life was not the same. But somehow he reached inside of me and took away all my pain. I was living in a world of darkness, and my way I could not find, when suddenly a light shone around me and the light darkness was left behind. And a new road I found myself walking, and alone I'll never be. For the one who found me in darkness said he'd walk all the way with me. And this old life I live for is over, and this new life I live for him. For he is my precious Savior who was crucified for my sin. So maybe you're still trapped in darkness and still looking for some way out. But all he wants is a repentant heart and a simple confession from your mouth. You see, Jesus wants to save you, and he knows your life's a mess. If you just call out to him now, he'd clothe you in his righteousness.
Oh my gosh. And that's all from your heart.
Yeah. See, that's why I'm getting upset, because it's still fresh in my heart 36 years later.
I think that's when we know that it's a supernatural.
That's it. It's written on the tablets of blood and on the tablets of flesh, not on paper. It's on my heart.
That is so powerful. And because everything rhymes and everything makes sense. Yeah. And you said to me, we're going to be a bit jealous now that you never even had to sit down there and go through the dictionary, find a new word.
No, I wrote them in less than 2 or 3 seconds.
And they'll just come. And
just out of my belly.
Out of your belly.
That's Jesus said, he who follows me will know whether my teaching comes from man or God. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Yeah. And when I either recite poetry or preach a message, rivers of living water comes out of my belly. And sometimes it makes me not sad. I'm just so blessed. And I look at my life back then and now. And the boy that was broken and wounded and rejected and hurt, like many today who are probably listening to this, was accepted and loved by the greatest person the world's ever known. And his name is Jesus. He accepted me. I don't know why. I said to him one night, it was in my house, I was only a young crisp baby. I was lying on my bed and I said, Lord, why do you love me? What did I ever do for you? What did I ever do for you? All I ever did was drink and drugs and everything. What did I ever do for you that you love me like this? I didn't know what he was going to say, and he said to me, I love you because you're my son. I have a friend in heaven who makes my heart so glad, and he's always there to talk to and hold me when I'm sad. Many call him the great I am, but to me, he's just simply Dad. For the day he gave his son for me, he gave the best of all he's had. He's not mean or greedy, he's the kindest dad I know. And his smile is warm and gentle, it'll melt your heart like snow. He came and lived on this earth and rescued us from hell. For dear and precious we are to him, we words would never tell. So he walked around saying, I've come to end the strife, for God has sent me down here to redeem you with my life. Oh, what a mighty God we have. With him, who can we compare? For no matter how tough the road gets, it's Dad who's carrying you there.
Oh my gosh, that is so splendid. The way Dad was there and he... I mean, you are giving us messages right now, which are poetry, but is no doubt a message. And what is so fabulous is that it's very heartfelt. Because almost as we're walking with you, and it's like, we want to have that kind of a dad. I mean, I want to have that kind of dad. He owns everything, but he just simply loved you because you're my son. I think that those things were touching. And you said these poems that comes from the belly, your belly out, you never spend more than 2-3 minutes to
not even that.
Not even that.
Do you know, it took 66 books, tens of thousands of years, just to say Jesus. That's how big he is and how glorious he is. And when God speaks to me, he said to me a long time ago, Stephen, I'm going to give you the greatest gift of all. I'm going to give you my pulse. You're going to have my pulse. And when you talk and when you share, hearts, broken hearts, will be repaired. You're going to introduce me as a daddy, a wonderful daddy that just adores his people. I remember some years ago, a friend called up to see me, and I have God speaking to me so many times, but this thrilled my heart. I've never heard the likes of this. And my friend was sitting there and she was a little bit upset. She was saying she was a single mother. She's an amazing mother, amazing woman, and there's millions of single mothers out there. And she said, all I ever wanted for my child to grow up was just to have a father figure in our home with her. So I said, look, do I just sit down and make a cup of tea? And I went in to make a cup of tea, and the Lord spoke to me, said, tell her this. And I went out and I told her this, and this is what God told me to tell her. She said to me, sweetheart, your father wants you to tell you this. He said, I'm a single father. Oh my God, he's a single father. He has millions of children and he's a single father. Oh, that brilliant. Changed that my life.
That
he can identify with single mothers. He can identify with nobodies, because he became nobody, you may become a somebody. He knows every person on the planet Earth, and he has a special plan and a calling for all of us. And when he's represented properly like that, they will run to him in the thousands. And that's how glorious he is. I remember one night I was at home and I was sitting there studying, and the Lord appeared to me in my sitting room and he said, Stephen, I want you to write a poem, and I want you to write this on sexual abuse. I said, Lord, how do I write this? And I know what sexual abuse feels like. I was hurt physically, emotionally. I was hurt sexually by men. So I understand the pain of that. I felt trash as a little kid, 7 years of age. So God understands the pain of that. And many people are listening today are hurt like that, physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually, bullied in school, low self-esteem. But the cure is Jesus. He knows how to heal broken hearts. Anyway, he said to me, I want you to write a poem on this. And I said, Lord, how do I write this? Get the pen. I'm going to recite this poem. And this is what he said to me. I hear the cry of many a child who are lonely, lost and confused, because these precious little angels are so hurted and abused. Their little faces are so downcast and their hearts are broken too. But still they blame her on themselves for something they failed to do. and yet they put on a brave face, and a smile could light up the sky. But you see, down deep in their hearts, I can still hear them cry. And yet they look at me with empty eyes, and they're afraid to call me dad. For whenever they need a loving hug, it was nowhere to be had. So they plod on down the road, with their teardrops hitting the ground, looking for someone to love them, but that someone will never be found. Because I'm the one who loves you, and I understand your fears, but I want to watch over and protect you and give you back your childhood years. And then he finished it with this. You go through life unwanted. Rejected by family and friends. Never able to fit in, because on performance their love depends. You can never seem to understand why they treat you in this way. For all you need is a little love just to brighten up your day. But if they will only remember, or even take the time to see, that it was you they held in their arms, and they looked at you once with glee. And then one day you leave home, away from all their scorn, hating everything about yourself, and wishing you were never born. But let me tell you, my dear friend, God cares for much for you, and he knows the pain of rejection, for he himself felt it too. But he longs to be your father, and performing you'll never have to do. For it was he who brought you into the world, and there's no one on earth like you.
I mean, we need to know how to get this book, but more importantly, how to meet this wonderful father and saviour. I think that's what your message is. Actually, your poems are messages, and your poems are very inviting. That one, I remember the first time I heard it, I was in my bedroom, he was reciting this poem on abuse, and there was a fragrance. I said, what's that? I didn't spray any perfume. I'm a perfume person. I like perfume, believe me. What was that? That was the message was coming through, and I felt such a touch in my heart, because as you say, there's so many people. Some people are very silent, but God knows who you are, and he knows what he's trying to reach you.
He's reaching now to the broken. He was found among the nobodies. He sat among the thieves and the robbers and the prostitutes, and he made them feel like princesses. That's the master. That's my saviour. That's the one who smiled at me all those years ago. His smile just did this to me. Can you imagine what his presence can do?
Wow, man.
If his smile can change a life forever, can you imagine what he can do? I remember some years ago, I'd seen this poor man, and he was asleep on the street. And these kids went over and you were urinating on them.
Oh my gosh.
And I stood on my back and I saw this and I said, shame on yous all. And the mothers thought it was funny. So I went down and picked this man up and put my arm around my shoulder and I carried him up. The smell was dreadful. But I didn't care. He was a creation of God. And I brought him up to his room and put him on his bed. I went down and got really upset. And God gave me a poem for him. For all those people who are on the streets, broken, nobodies. And this is what he said. There are many hurting people walking throughout this land, looking for someone's friendship or just a helping hand. We see them lying in our streets or begging in some alleyway. And yet like dirt we step over them or just push them out of the way. Yet dirty and smelly they might be and in badly need of care. But instead of turning the other way, why don't you just think of them in prayer? Because these lives are broken, and to them death is release. For all the pain they went through, maybe now they'll find some peace. We see God create all men, and he showers them all with love. And to all those untouchable people, he welcomes in his kingdom above.
So that's amazing. I could listen to you all day long. But you know, we have to get some more information about you. So now, this book is called
God's Love Letter. I wrote it about 20 years ago. It never really got in. I just wrote 800 copies or so, and they were just given away. And it was never sort of, I never launched into anything big. I wasn't looking for anything big. I'm just looking for hearts to hear the voice of God.
And so, It was never really launched, but what it is that you gave it away and lots of people went away with it.
Yeah, and their lives were touched by God. Right. It was called God's love letter. God is a love letter. Everything about him is a love letter.
So, and the purpose of that book is just to give to people and to let them read it so they
that
can,
we have a daddy sitting on the throne. Not a judge. Not a judge. No, he's not. He's not angry. He's not upset. He doesn't hold our sins against us. He is the most beautiful. I can't wait to die to go to him. I'm going to kiss the jaws out of him when I get near heaven. I just want to spend all day in heaven with him. That's all I want, because he's the most beautiful being. And that book he gave me, it was a gift to the people who needed it.
And I think that people that probably need it now. So I hope you will have a relaunch.
Yeah, I'm going to look for it. I know some friends have it, and I'm going to try and get a copy of it and do it again. Because I've written a load more things over the years.
So it could be God's Love Letter Volume 2. But it will be Volume 1 in it, as the Lord will lead you, of course. Now, every month we normally talk about the word. We have a prompt word. And this word this month is energy. If I ask you, Steve O'Brien, who gets messages, you know, that's so inspiring, what does the word energy mean to you?
Well, I mean, the greatest energy any human being can experience from the cradle to the grave is the energy of agape, the love of God. That is the greatest energy known to man. All we've ever known was that filial love. And that love has done more damage. It's the goddess of the divorce court. But Jesus brought a new love called agape. And one drop of that into your heart and you're in love with God. It changes the robber into the saints. It turns the hard person into soft person. It is the answer to the crisis all over the world today. Jesus brought this new energy called love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. The son so loved the world, he gave his life. And we so love the world, we give the great message of this love to man. So if you're looking for an energy, it is called love. And if children today, and if I grew up in this as a child in the love of God, and if children today were soaked in this, what statesman, it'd end all wars, it'd end all famines, it would end all of that. And that new love that Jesus brought to me stands out as the grandfather of all energy the world's ever known, love. Because it's the only power, the Bible says, that never fails. Love never fails.
Thank you. You couldn't have given a better answer. We don't normally give marks, but if we had to, you'll have 10 plus 10 plus 10. You'll get A's, you know, A++. So thank you so much for all that you have given us. We've come, you won't believe it, we've come very quickly towards the end, because it's time in here, very quickly towards the end. But just as we're rounding up, is there another poem you have there that you want to give us to send us off, and then tell us where we can get you?
Okay. I'm going to end this off with a poem that God gave me years and years ago. My brother, William. I had a lot. Three brothers went to be with the Lord. William, Patrick and Johnny. But William's departure broke my heart. It left me devastated. I'll never forget the grief and sorrow I experienced. I didn't know the Lord as strong as I did today. I hadn't got the revelations that I had today. I was only a young Christian, and I didn't know how to pray the prayer of faith or anything like that. But I just cried out to God to not let him die. He died. And I was at home one day crying in my sitting room. I was grieving out heavy. And with that, didn't I hear someone behind me crying? And I looked around, there was nobody there. And about 2 days after, I got a prophecy from a woman from the north of Ireland, who I don't even know. And she said, I'm writing this prophecy to you from God. I don't know what your address is. I'm just writing this address down as God has given it to me. And it came right to my door. And in the prophecy was this: my son, I have seen your sorrow and I've seen your tears, and I've heard you crying, and I've been crying with you. He was standing behind me crying, and he said to me, Stephen, I want you to write a poem about heaven, for this is where your brother is, and this is where all my people are, and this is where I want the whole world to come one day. And this poem, and I hope whoever's out there tonight or today or whatever this is aired, and you're sitting in your sitting room, remember there's a God in heaven that wants you dearly. And this poem, I'll give it to all those people in hospitals or in those places, hospice, who may be listening and are frightened of dying. Let me just tell you, just call on the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings, and you'll have a peace on your heart. A blanket will come down on you of joy and peace, and you'll go off into glory, blessed. And this poem is for you. One day we'll all be in heaven, where our Father sits on the throne, with the angels all rejoicing, for at last his family is home. And the gates of heaven will be open, and singing will all enter in. And the Lord will prepare the table, for the feast is ready to begin. And clothed in robes of righteousness, we head on up to the tree, straight to the Garden of Eden, so of the tree of life we may eat. So in all its beauty and splendour, and the magnificence of this place, yet what our heart is yearning for is to meet Jesus face to face. So as we stood in sweet surrender, and our praise to him we will bring, when out of the throne room of heaven came forth the King of Kings. So we all bow down before him to give him the glory he's due, when all of a sudden he spoke out, saying, my children, I dearly love you, and with him we'll be forever and experience so much fun, for this is what God has longed for, and that's why he gave us his only son.
Oh my word, that is so, I didn't even have a word for it, do you know what I'm saying? But he's certainly preparing my heart to go whenever he's ready to take me. There's no need to fight it anymore. But also for lots of people who have lost loved ones, it can be reassured where they may be. And also when you're in hospital, like you said, hospice, and you don't have to be afraid. So thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, we would like to know, where can we get hold of you? Are you on a Facebook, on Instagram?
Well, I do a Bible study on a Monday and a Sunday morning in Fisborough, and it's a powerful time of unveiling the Word of God. Margaret here sitting beside me comes to it, and her life has changed. In 2 years she's been attending it. You can contact me on my phone number 0877 75 449. We'll give you details.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful writer, message giver, and looking forward to all that we're going to do.
I enjoyed it here.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Download the podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.
Raised on songs and stories.
Hello, Jerry Cooley here, inviting you to join me every Wednesday at 2 o'clock here on Near FM for Raised on Songs and Stories.
It's a good day when you put your feet to the ground, don't mind me telling it to you, even if this is...
So weren't we reared on them?
Here at Near FM, we are participating in the community call to help combat the effects of COVID-19. The purpose of the community call is to coordinate community activity and community assistance to where it is needed. We ask our listeners to look out for each other. If your neighbours or relatives are required to stay at home, check with them to see if they need supports. And if you're in that category yourself, don't hesitate to ask for help. Whether it's with shopping, fuel delivery, collecting medicines, or any other necessities of daily life. The local authority helpline is there as a safety net to ensure that everyone is looked after. If you need assistance and you live in Dublin City, call 01-222-8555. That's 01-222-8555. If you need assistance and you live in Fingal, call 01-890-5000. That's 01-890-5000. Let's all stay safe together from all here at Near FM.
the digital experience. Missed a program or an interview? Catch up now online with the Near FM digital experience. We're online 24 hours a day, podcasting every day. Visit nearfm.ie/podcast.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of International Writers Network. And as usual, we have a wonderful guest writer for you today. Monica Manzi is a special migrant writer who came to Ireland 13 years ago. We are delighted to have her on the program today. Hi, Monica. How are you?
Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for the invitation. I am delighted to be in the program with you and share my writing in my story as well as a migrant in Ireland.
Oh, you know what? It is such an honor to have people who inspire others like you, Monica, and you do it through so many parts of your art, and one of them is writing, and that's what we're interested in here. So if I was to say to you, Monica, we're excited before we read your mini biography in the wonderful writing journal Inspired Migrant Women, Volume 1, I would like to find out, and I'm sure the listeners also, how did you get into writing? When did you know you had this gift, this artistic gift of writing? When did you know that?
Right, Mary. This is a kind of fascinating story, and it's something that I would like to share with all the audience. Basically, when I was 11 years old, someone gave me as a gift a journal, and I start to write everyday things of my life. Since that day, I never stop. So today I have a big suitcase with around 15 journals, which I write every single important things that is happening in my life, okay? This is the most precious thing I have, to be honest with you. Because if I always say to my partner, if the house burns, I would run away and take my passport and my suitcase with these journals I've been writing. It is such a beautiful thing, that journey since I started. I just tell you a really very quick story. When I was around 15 or 16 years old, I wrote a letter to me, which I kept in these journals. And after maybe 15 years, I found this letter. And the letter was a letter who I wrote to myself. And it was like I was transported in time, and it was myself talking to myself. I mean, the writing, it has so much power that it can be used for so many things, to inspire people, to inform, to communicate, you know, but in the very deep things, and as a human and as a person, just to really write about yourself, and it's a healing tool as well for me, the writing. And that's how I started this journey into the writing experience. Yeah. It has been really very beautiful.
Now, you know, this is really fascinating, because you wrote to yourself at 15 and then you read it so many years later, lots of years later, and it spoke to you. I mean, then you mentioned something that really, really captured me, and say, you know what? She has got a treasure. So if the house was burning, you will go for your passport and you will go for this suitcase with this journal. Now, have you ever thought you're going to ever print this journal, just going to make it into a book? That's your life history for your children, or may not be for public, but have you ever thought you're going to put them together and actually published?
Well, probably I will. At this stage, as I am in the process to kind of gather all the information, you know what I like to do as well? For example, when it's turning towards the end of the year, right? Just to give us an example, or my birthday. So it's like, my birthday is on the 14th of February. So on the 13th of February at 23:59, when just a minute about to get into my birthday, I get my diary, my journal, and I start to write. And it's just saying, today is the day that I am becoming 41, 42 years old, whatever the age. And this has been pretty much what I have done in all these years. So this writing also has a sense of time. It's like a time machine for me and for my child and for my grandchild. I mean, this is really a big treasure. And no doubt that I want my future generations to really look after them and to read and really to inspire them to continue doing the same. I have bought to my, I have two daughters. Now one is a teenager, which I have bought a diary, and she is into reading as well. And I think everyone, every parent, it should encourage the kids to do this, because it's an excellent tool just to relieve emotions and just to keep all your life. And it's something that you preserve that belongs to you, to your family, to your future generations. But I have a big think about this, because I start to write obviously in Spanish, because this is my mother tongue, right? But lately I was starting to think, my God, like my two daughters now, they do speak a bit of Spanish, but their tongue, main tongue, is English, because we've been living here in Ireland. So I kind of started to change now, and I thought, okay, maybe I should start to write in English to make things easier for them to understand, because, you know, my writing is a little bit, it looks like a doctor's writing, if you have an idea. Just, you know, it's a lot of it's not really very clean, if I'm explaining myself. So that, on the top, that is another language, it could be a barrier for them to understand. So I am in the process now to start to do it in English as well. And I am thinking that the ones that I have done in Spanish, the things that are really, I really want them to read, you know, about me in the future, maybe I should, yes, I probably should do it in computer and in English as well, just for them to make it easier to understand.
I'm fascinated by this. Now, that is called journaling. And it's very creative, because, as you said, it kind of releases you. But you also do a lot of historical things there, yeah? Now, what would you advise someone, before we go into your reading, what would you advise someone who said, look, you know what, but I don't spell that well. I would love to journal. I sometimes feel like doing it, but how do people go into the process of journaling? Is it just getting there and you start writing? Or do you have any suggestions for people who may want to do this as a form of writing?
The main thing is the willing to actually take even 5 minutes. You don't need more than 5 minutes. Take time to go yourself into a room alone, take a pen, take your journal, and start to write. You know, you have to let yourself go, and things are flowing naturally. In my case, at least, they are flowing naturally. And sometimes, if I am a little bit sad or struggled because of the daily stress, the normal life, for me, it's therapy. Like, if you really take it as a writing, not only because of artistic side or communicating, informative, it is a therapy, you know. And just the willing is the first thing. So for me, I'm delighted that you invite me today to this program, because it is so beautiful that I can share this experience with all the audience. And I hope I can inspire some of the people in the audience to actually do this and really think, have the thoughts, and pass it to your generations and to your kids, you know. Let's don't forget that the writing is so important. And I'm not only talking about the writing in the computer, because one of the things that we are losing is the writing by hand. And this, if we do not practice it in the future generations, in 2-3 decades, this is going to be gone. So it is really very important that we keep this, doing it, you know. And I'm delighted. I'm really delighted I can share my experience.
Well, that is really, it's very inspiring and stimulating. about getting that. And then you said about getting it for your children. So I think that's a good person. I've got a couple of grandchildren. I may just give that to them as their present thing. Because I think it's so wonderful. That's a good present. So look, you go in your room somewhere and whatever you want to write, you write. It's you and that book. And I think that's good. Thank you so much for inspiring it. Now, you are on a project that we've got to talk about. The first volume came out, Inspired Migrant Women. And volume one, and you were part of that. Do you want to tell us a bit about that project before we read the first part of your work in that project?
Yes, I have the honor to be one of the Inspired Migrant Women in Ireland, a book which has been edited by Carola Sands. It has been a wonderful experience for me, because not only experience that I came to Ireland as a migrant, you know, it's not easy, but to share what as a migrant we could do, and really to inspire other women and men as well to don't forget where we are coming from. And for me, this opportunity was great to let people know a little bit about my life, what I have done, all the projects that I did, altruist projects. I'm very into the altruist projects and cultural. And so for me, it has been a really very inspired things to do, to inspire other women actually to take some actions, and to everyone can really help. We don't need much. We don't need much money. It's just the willing to do the things. And for me, it's really very important that I have that chance to communicate this to people. And thanks to Carola Sands that she gave us this opportunity to participate in this book. And I'm really very happy. And yes, I'm really very happy I can tell you the story about this.
So that's really amazing. How many women enter this? It's like an anthology of women migrants in Ireland, and they wrote their life and what happened to them in Ireland, I assume, and the impact. And how many women did you have in that project?
Well, in the first edition of the book, we had 51 women, which they were involved all around different countries, different backgrounds. In this book, you can find the stories of positive stories, like, you know, life stories, other stories that are sad, because not everyone have had life easy coming as a migrant woman in a different country. But the good thing is, like, we can share these stories. And people, when they read it, they can learn and they can understand that, you know, some people will say, oh, you are living in Europe, you know, and coming original from South America. It's like life is easy there. It's not easy, the life for a migrant person in another culture. It's a question that you have to integrate into this culture. So what this book is doing is just to telling the stories, the good and the bad, you know, and of people that they came to Ireland, and we share and we help and we can inspire, you know, with different projects and experiences of how we can integrate into this new culture. And at the moment, I had the honor to be part of this 51 woman, but also, they are coming the second edition, is the volume 2 of this book. And I honor to be helping Carol to gather and to put the book together as well. So we'll be gathering another dozens of women as well, which they are not in the first edition.
Wow, that is fantastic. Well, you know what? Your story was so inspiring when I read it. It would be wrong for me not to let the listeners hear your story. Do you want to read us the first part of your story that was inserted into the Inspired Migrant Women in Ireland, Volume 1?
Right.
Please.
Okay. My name is Monica Manzi Barloco, and I am originally from Montevideo, Uruguay. My grandparents were French and Italian who migrated to South America over a century ago. I came to Ireland 16 years ago, and I've been aware since early stages that there is a big world to see, and I knew I was not going to live in my country all my life. One day when I was 6 years old, I asked my mother if she could send me somewhere to start to learn how to speak English. How funny it turned out now, because I ended up in Ireland, which English could become my new and most used language. I love Ireland because Irish people are very polite, and I find them always happy and helpful. Since being in Ireland, I have learned so much about multiculturalism and other things through the years. I have so much love for this country, and I'm very grateful and happy here. I believe that the level of English is a key issue with some, why some women in Ireland are facing hard times. Some of them that came to Ireland are very experienced in different roles, while other ones have a very little or no English at all, and they find it difficult to adapt. But again, many migrant women, especially single mothers who are qualified, also have problems in getting jobs. This also depends on many factors. Therefore, there is a huge competition, and then there is the issue of inequality and of pay gap between women and men. My advice for upcoming migrant women would be the following. It is important to first of all learn to understand and speak English as the language commonly spoken in Ireland. This will help them to integrate in the society. Secondly, try to do something you are passionate about. We all know the beginning of this journey is not an easy task. For some of us, it could be easier or more difficult. Being part of a new culture and doing learning different things of life and behaviors, it involves many challenges. It is important to integrate in the new culture, but also important that we never forget where we are coming from, because it is the essence of who we are and should be ambassadors of our own countries and cultures. I take pride in showing my culture and also learn from another cultures through participating in charity, fundraising, and volunteers activities. As soon as I came to Ireland, I did not take long before I got a job, and I started to work for very prestigious companies as a makeup artist. I believe I do have a creative side, and I started to explore this straight away. After many years working for this company, my first baby, Nisha, came along. I decided afterwards to move and explore other fields. I was looking for something that would let me work freelance and be able to spend more time with my daughter. I have always had a love for photography and liked the idea of making it my next career pursuit. And after I met my partner, Conrad, who is a professional photographer, and gave birth to my second daughter, Yanka, this became a reality. Photography for me was always a hobby. I was inspired by my mother. She used to be really detailed when taking pictures. Even remember laughing at her because she would make such an effort moving objects around to make the best family photos. I convinced myself to enroll in a photography course, and I did so well at the beginner's level and then moved to complete more advanced levels, and before long, I became a professional photographer. And without realizing it, one day, I saw my work published in newspapers and magazines. I have even won awards, and so far it is a sign which signals that I have become very good at my profession, photography. I believe if you do things with love and with passion, and be consistent, you can become your best.
Oh my God, that is so inspiring. And we haven't even got to the, we just touched the top part of your contribution to that book. I mean, you gave lots of advice, and that's just the first part. Now, what I was going to ask you is, Monica, were you born to just inspire women? Honestly, because you touched on certain things, because migrant women, it is a problem to come, it is an issue, but you said these are the things that you found, and I thought, yeah, English, if English is a problem, they're not going to be able to communicate or integrate. That is spot on. And then do something you're passionate about, because you're going to meet other people with the same passion and actually get into that community. And I think that is so beautiful. Because and to be an ambassador for your country, I think that's a beautiful word. Although we're not employed as ambassadors, but you are an ambassador for your country. Thank you. That's just the first part of it all. Now, before we go to the second part, which I'm sure the listeners are dying to know, what's the second part? What else is she going to advise us? This month, we are talking about the word energy. Every month, we have a specific word. We ask our writers to enlighten us about what they feel about that word. What do you feel about the word energy?
Energy. Energy is something that is infinite. And if we died, the energy, it's continue living, okay? It's something that is such an important thing that without energy, we would be nothing. And energy is the tool it's a mechanic that is moving us to do things. It's really very important to have the energy to do the things that we want, the passion. It is moving us into the passion. But also, we have to think that there is positive energy and negative energy, right? So always try to feel and to move in circles of people which they feed you with positive energy. And really very keen into, you know, when I perceive the energy of people, right? And sometimes if I feel that a person is not... it's not suitable for my circle, I decide to cut off from the roots the things, you know. But energy is something that we all need, and especially positive energy, especially in moments that we are living very uncertain. And now I don't want to talk about nuclear energy at the moment, which is something that we kind of worry me, okay, but let's talk about positive energy. And my advice is feed yourself with positive energy and with people that give you this energy instead of negative.
That's a good one. Very different approach, and there's no right or wrong answer, but it's worthy of commendation. Thank you so much. We commend you for that. Stick with positive energy and get rid of anything negative. And that's very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So on that note, we're going to go straight into your second part of your thing, because we want to know more about what you put inside that first volume, your contribution. Can you share that with us, please, your second part of that?
Yes. I have another side of me also, which I have been exploring since I came to Ireland. This is helping people through charity, through fundraising events. I use part of my knowledge and working experience in organizing events, and I have made a few happen. They were great professional achievements, believe me. Being an altruist is one of the best things humans can do. Using my knowledge of makeup and once on holidays, I organized in Uruguay the Journey of Beauty and Health. I wanted to do this because my mother was fighting cancer at the time, and in this process, she met many other women in the same situation, or even worse. I got help from another makeup artist named Sylvia, which I had the pleasure to meet in Ireland years before. And we both did makeovers and had chats about providing the skincare treatments during chemotherapy and other treatments. When I contacted her for this, she was ready to help. Some of the women were receiving treatment in a public hospital in Uruguay, Hospital Pereira Rosell. We want them to feel better, at least to make them about what they are going through momentarily. I never felt so happy seeing them smiling, having a treat, and my mother feeling so proud of me. It was magic, but I didn't finish there. Most of them have to come from outside the capital with very little resources, making it very expensive for their families to visit them. I thought about the importance of these families to be closer at such a hard time. So on my return to Ireland, I spoke to my friends Kevin and Aga, who are artists, and they kindly donated some pieces of art in order to raffle them and fundraise money to enable me to purchase 2 laptops to be used amongst the women in the hospital ward. To have a laptop is very common thing for people in developed countries, like in Ireland, but it's not so rare where I am from. So it was a very much appreciated and a great achievement for me. My next project involved me working with another Irish artist, Dominic. It was a multimedia project combining art, photography, and testimonials of participating models titled A Place to Rest Your Head. We plan to raise awareness of the female breast and male chest regarding breast cancer and other relevant issues. We had an amazing opening exhibition in the heart of Dublin, in which not only gathered some money from cars to donate to give to some of the charities. I also had the chance to read a poem that my mother wrote before she passed away. I believe everything we do is special, and this one was one of the most special things I've done. I think everyone has to work actively, and when we do, changes happen. A few years ago, representing my country in Miss Ethnic Ireland, an event organized by IFRA Met, I learned about female genital mutilation. I was totally numb about this. I could not believe this kind of practice existed and was carried out to women. This was a great journey, and without realizing, I became an activist for the cause. And eventually, thanks to IFRA and other women, this practice has become illegal in Ireland. There are so many causes out there that need to be addressed. It is important each of us show some concern with our knowledge and passion in order to make little changes that we want to see. I have organized some cultural events showcasing my country. This one, of the other things that represent me, the person I am. I love photography, arts, and I love culture. I remember one day after a World Cup match and meeting many Uruguayan compatriots in Dublin pub, we organized the Matiada Colectiva, an event I organized to gather friends and share homemade drink we call yerba mate, which is a typical infusion from Brazil and South America. Yerba mate has many nutrients and properties, and you must drink it with a metal straw and in terms that it uses hot water. Most people in Dublin really don't know what it is, as people would look at me in a very strange way if they saw me with a thermo drinking it, and I felt like it was needed for education and people would actually benefit from the many nutrients. So it was a great achievement for me to be able to organize these mateadas in different parks, some of them with a huge attendance, over 100 people, all from different parts of the world. This is the drink we used at home, and it's probably one of the things I miss the most about my country, drinking mate with friends and having long chats.
Oh, wow. But we have come to the end. Now, where could we follow you or get to know more about your project? Do you have a Facebook, Instagram?
Yes, if you actually contact me through inspirewomenbook2@gmail.com, and if anyone in your audience it would be willing actually to write and to participate the book, just drop me an email in there, inspirewomenbook2@gmail.com, and I can send you all the information on how to participate in the book.